And when I've done it my way, just because I'm human, just like you, it doesn't work out. And I don't want to live that way anymore. How about you? I want to do it God's way today. There's a funny story. Remember Hulano? Remember Porfulio? Yeah, some of you guys are lifers here. Well, Hulano, you know, he walks into this bar and he has this lump on his back. And they go, "Hey, Hulano, why do you have that lump on your back?" He says, "You know what, man? I'm tired of Porfulio because every time he comes into this bar, he slaps him real hard on the back. Well, now I put a stick of dynamite in the back. It's that lump. So when he slaps me in the back this time, I'm going to blow his hand up." Some of y'all don't get that. You'll get that at 3 a.m. We hurt ourselves when we hold back. And today it's a picture of really dealing with how we deal with people in our lives sometimes that hurt us and offend us. We blow ourselves up today. I want you to grow spiritually. The power of God is within every Christian in this room. And I have to believe because you came to church, you're a Christian today. And so you have this ability to not only deal with the offense, but overcome it, love and forgive today, because that's the way God intended it. So lean in. Amen. Put your seatbelt on. We're taking off right now today. Amen. The half brother of Jesus, we know Jesus had family because one time they were outside. They thought he was crazy. And they said, "Hey, your brothers and your sisters are here." So he had a big family. Amen. And so, you know, Jesus is half brother because Jesus was born of God today. Within his family of Mary and Joseph, he had a half-brother named James. And James became this great pastor. And he wrote this great book called James. And he pastored a great church. And so it says right there, let's just read the first sentence out loud, just where the question mark's at. Come on, participation is good today. It says, "What causes fights and quarrels among you?" Stop right there. That's easy. Well, my boss, you know, he's like, and if you told me your story, and if you heard my story about the unfairness, about the neighbor that leaves a dog barking all night, or what happened in your family in 1968 or whatever, I would agree with you. You're right. That's what caused the fight. It's them that caused it. But James does a shift, and that's why I don't like the Bible. How about you? Because there's this common thread in every conflict that I've been involved in, whether I was a victim of it, or whether it came upon me. And you know what the common thread is? Yeah, how did y'all know? Y'all looked at my sermon notes? I've always been there. And so I have something to do with the conflict. Amen? Almost. I'll tell you a story about Linda one day. Amen? Give me a good amen. But honor admin day. I'm going to be nice today. Right, everybody? So this common thread, right? And so let me continue. Here's what James looked. He said, "Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You don't get what you want." Is Mario saying this? Or is this the book of James? James, why did you have to say that? But you want something and you don't get it. And I felt the desire that I deserve that. Why is the traffic on 1604 so slow? Didn't the city know that I was going to be late if all this backup was going to happen at 5 p.m.? And don't they know I'm trying to get somewhere? Or didn't they know how unfairly I was treated at my job? You have a desire and you didn't get recognized. They didn't recognize you at the church picnic for bringing the potato salad and you're all mad. You didn't get it. Amen. And this is what happens. This is where we turn. You kill and you covet because you cannot have what you want. And this is the way we do it in the flesh. You quarrel and fight. I was walking my dogs back when the both dogs could walk. And now they've gotten older. Amen. And so we have like this geriatric dog we're taking care of. He's blind and he's deaf. And we still love him. His name's Joe. But he used to walk in the day. I'm real proud of that dog walking. But one day, between the picket fences of the wood that we're walking by, long fence, corner block, these dogs start barking at my dog. And he's a Christian dog, my dog, man. So I guess they were unsaved. They're barking at me. And they're going crazy behind that fence. They're big dogs. I can hear them bark, you know. And all of a sudden, they're barking so much at me that they start barking at each other. They get mad at each other. And you ever notice people that fight? They fight with everybody. It's not only they're fighting at the people that they get. Then they turn on each other. And that's where we don't have to come. It says, you don't have, and here's the answer. Is it working or you're fighting? There's no peace with inside because everything's a fight. You don't have it because you don't ask Mario. No, you don't ask Theo Chuan. No, you don't ask God. And that's when peace comes in today. Amen. I want to learn today when I deal with those people, whoever they are, that I know how to love them and I know how to face them with God's Holy Spirit within my life, because God's given me the answer to live skillfully today and not live like the world. Do you understand that today? Amen. We should live better. And so these are extra notes for the extra note takers. They're all going to go to heaven if they take extra notes. Amen. We know that. Amen. Right? The choices that you have. What are the choices that I got when I get offended? Well, number one, I believe you know them. You can choose to curse it. You make that choice. You curse it. If I had them in front of me again, I would tell them this and that. Have you ever been like Nava? Yeah, I curse that person. I curse them. I don't bless them. I curse them. Amen. In my head over and over. How about this one? The next one. You rehearse it. You go over and over in your head. You don't get any sleep about it. There's no peace in your life. You're getting sick over it because of unforgiveness, because you keep rehearsing it. Again, these aren't easy, but it's God's word. And let's go ahead and grow, not stay the same way we are. We want to go past third grade, right, spiritually, right? We want to get our high school diploma. Hey, let's get our GED spiritually today, right, everybody? Amen. Amen. And then how about this one? You nurse it. I just, poor me, I'm the only one that gets picked on. I'm the only one this way that ever gets treated that way. You know, do y'all remember Paul Harvey? At Araya? He was pretty cool. He said this one time. He said a man sued his parents because he was ugly. It wasn't me. Don't look at me that way. His premise was, if you couldn't do any better than this, he said, you shouldn't have had any children. And he sued his parents today. We know, people, that it's always someone else's fault. It's always their fault. It's always their fault. And it's never your fault today. You don't have anything to do with it today. Are y'all still with me? Do you still love Nava? Amen. Irma, start the car. They're giving me ugly. I'm just giving you God. We're all walking through this today. Amen. I'll prove that to you in a moment today. You can do this final one. Amen. Which is biblical. You can choose to. Somebody say. Yeah, take it out of your heart and say, God, I give it back to you. And that's what God wants. We keep trying to change other people. And maybe God is pulling up right now the Holy Spirit is pulling up into your driveway, into your heart right now. It's pulling up. Here comes the Holy Spirit. And all he wants to do is, instead of changing them, why don't we work on you today? Why don't we change you? Come on. Yeah. Amen. Thank you. To God be the glory. Amen. He wants to change. No. We got to do something about those Republicans. We got to do something about those Democrats. We got to do something about our mayor. No, I want to do something in you, God is saying, first, before we change the mayor, before we change the Democrats. God is saying, I want to do something on the inside of you that's real big today. And if you'll take my prescription today, I'll change you today. And if you listen to my word and heed it carefully into your life, I'll change you and you'll be able to deal with the difficult people in your life today. Amen? Amen. And so number one, the principle is this. Say it together. And say it, please, out loud, not out soft. On together. One. Here we go. One is overlook. Excellent. Great job today. Do you know America's trending the opposite of this? They're not overlooking. They're not overlooking. You know what? When they disagree, and you see it at 6 p.m. every night when you watch the news, they're not only disagreeing, they're saying, I disagree with you and I hate your guts. I hate everything you stand for. And we're not meant to be that way. God's people aren't. We disagree with each other, but we're so thin-skinned and our hearts have become so callous. And God's intended that the peace only comes when you have tough skin and your heart is soft. And that's what God intended, that you would have a soft heart today. Remember, church, family, this isn't your home, earth. We're ambassadors here. We're visiting. We're passing through. And this isn't our home. So one day we will get home today. There are some things that will not get fixed on this earth. You can forgive, which I want you to do, but there's still going to be a problem maybe. And maybe in heaven, that's when it gets answered. I know in heaven it gets answered. That's when he wipes away every tear from your eye. Because you cried on earth enough, and then God heals you finally in heaven. they're going to do what they're going to do, but you need to obey God today, right, everybody? And that's why Proverbs, the ancient book, says this, 10:12, love overlooks the wrong. Yeah, yeah, they made a mistake, but love overlooks that wrong that others do, because that's what love does. Proverbs 19:11, a man's wisdom gives him what? How about you sisters here? It gives you patience too, right? And it also, look what it does. Because you have patience, it can you read that with me? It is to glory. In other words, you look good when you have patience with people. Amen? Yes. There, Irma and I, in our ministries that we've begun, but we've been assigned to, my pastor said, would you take over the young adults of this church? And he commissioned Irma and I to do it. I began it as a single, and then I got married. Amen. Thank God. Amen. I found somebody in church that was wanting to do the same thing I did, and I married her. Amen. Good. Amen. Good place to find your lifelong love. And that's so. We did this young adult group, and I remember we were having like this Holy Spirit night. We had calendar and worship, and we'd pray. It was all night, man. All night prayer, I think. And God was moving, the Holy Spirit. And I remember this girl began to testify because we had this testimony time. And this girl, to protect the innocent, her name was Sandra. And Sandra said, she said, I went to this all-girls Lutheran school when I was a teenager. My parents sent me there. I wanted to go there. It was all girls. And there was this one girl that would always pick on me. And it got to the height one time, because we all had KP duty, kitchen duty. And instead of having hair nets, we would wear like these big white turbans that we would tie on our head. And they just looked ridiculous. She admitted it, you know, now as a young adult. But she said, when I was a teenager, I didn't really want to wear that. But, you know, we had to because we were serving food. And when that girl saw Sandra walk in with that big turban dressed in the white apron, she said, ah, look at Sandra. Just making fun of her that way. Girls can be mean, right? Just mocking her. And she said, something rose up in me. And if I had a gun, she said, I would have killed that girl. I would have shot her right there with her big mouth. I would have just ran over and punched. But just I hated her even more when she did that. And she said, it was my custom that I would do my devotional, that every morning I would go to the chapel and I would read. I would open up the hymnals. Remember the hymnal books that every church would have? Well, that chapel was known. She would open up hymnals and she would begin to sing the songs of in the hymn book. Amazing Grace, How Great Thou Art, and the songs. And she would sing them. And she says, while she was singing it, that girl came to her mind. And it was like, and then she said, you know what? She realized how hurting and how insecure, because she was praying, because she was worshiping God, that she had to overlook that offense. And it was only at that moment that she said, you know what, she realized hurting people hurt. If people are hurting you, it's because they're hurting. Did you know that today? And that's that word that you have a sympathy for them. And say, you know what? I don't know what you're going through, but I can only imagine because of the way that you're hurting. I have friends that joke with me that are fellow pastors and go, they sure must be hurting a whole bunch the way they're hurting me. But people are hurting, and that's why they're hurting you. And if you look at them through that lens, you have compassion for them, and you can pray. Is Jesus visiting you right now, church? Is the Holy Spirit speaking to you like He's speaking to me? Of course He is. God is here. We don't want to reject Him. We want to receive what God's doing. He's tender towards us. And so love looks to the heart and the past behavior and the pain that it looks towards the heart of a person and saying, you know what, they're hurting. That's why when that person cuts you off on 1604 or 410 and you want to peel that banana, holster that thing, Christian. Put it back in. Amen. That's why we don't have bumper stickers. I go to Living Faith Church. We don't want any of y'all to have bumper stickers on your car. Put that thing back in there, amen. You need to think when that person cuts in front of you or whatever might do, you have to imagine they're on their way home. There's an emergency at their home. They had to get there. They were late to church, amen. I don't know. They had to get to their place, and you And you know what? It's probably not true. And you know that. But it helps you. It helps you. It's quiet. I mean, I'm trying to. Number two is this. Pray for them. I'm going to do that, Pastor. You don't know. I pray that a flies of a thousand camel infest their armpits. That's what I'm going to pray. I pray that a thousand hemorrhoids get on their tongue because they spoke bad about me behind my back. They gossiped about me. Yeah. I'm going to claim the scripture. Psalms 57, break the teeth of the wicked. I got a scripture for them. Amen. David would have trouble with people, and he says like things like this, break the teeth of the wicked. But by the time it was over, he would say, Lord, it's in your hands. I place them in your hands. God, you'll repay them. You'll visit them. But as for me, I will worship you. And because he got set free in prayer, and so much to you today. Amen. You pray, and you know what it does? It gets them. No, it softens your heart. It makes you tender before God. The culture that Jesus lived in was this culture like an eye for an eye. You get my eye. It was even written in the Old Testament. An eye for an eye. You pluck my eye out, I'm going to pluck your eye out. Amen. You break my arm, I'll break your arm. Yeah. Hand for a hand. I'll chop your hand. It was that way. Even the Roman Empire that occupied them, they had this god of revenge that they would worship because they would sic them on you if you had something against them, if you offended them. We're no different. 2,000 years later, we light velas, santitos. We go visit people. We don't even maybe do that because we're not in that religion anymore, but we think things that are wrong. We want things that will go wrong. We despise them. We talk about them. We're no different. And this is what Jesus said to do with those people because you're a Christian today. Matthew 5:43. You've heard it said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, it was a revolutionary thought to the 2,000 year ago people. And it's a revolutionary thought sometimes to us because we're not doing it. Love your enemy and pray for those that persecute you. A miracle takes place really not in them, but in you when you pray for them. As hard as it is to pray, you pray for them. Thank God, amen, you have that power today for you. My prayer for others may not change them, but it will sure change and change you today if you pray. In 1993, there was this battle of Mogadishu. I'll pronounce that better. In Somalia. They made a great movie about it called Black Hawk Down. The book that was written is incredible. They based it on the book. And some of our soldiers went and they're shot down in the Black Hawk down. It goes down a helicopter. And because they're down, they drag their bodies. They kill them and they drag their bodies. A horrific scene in 1993. It was all over the news. Terrible to see our soldiers dragged through the streets that way and dead corpses walk by. Well, they send an elite commando team to go rescue the bodies and rescue the others that are behind the enemy lines. And it's a firefight. There's like 1,000 against 2. They're overwhelmed. More guns come. They get ready. These warring tribes are coming against them. And they have a way out. And the colonel tells the sergeant, they're all held up in the scene in the movie. They're held up in a building. It's a type of movie, by the way, if you're like me, you only see once because it's so powerful that way. And they're held up and the colonel tells the sergeant, get up right now and get in the truck and drive. We have to get out of here. There's more coming. And the sergeant says, Colonel, I'm shot. I can't. I'm shot. And the colonel comes back and says, shut up. We're all shot. And get in the truck and drive. We're all offended in this room. So shut up. And get in the truck and drive. Why don't you tell your neighbor, tell him nicely, shut up and get in the truck and drive. I think when he told them to shut up in that movie, to me it was the equivalent of stop your whining, stop your belly aching. We've all been shot. We've all been hurt. We're all the walking wounded in this room at times. In the season, if not, we're coming. We've all been offended. Everybody gets offended. That's why everybody needs to pray and overcome the offense today. Amen. I want you to practice these principles. I do them and they work, and you do them and they work today. But you must do God's word to get over the offense. Number three is this: forgive them. What? Forgive them. What? Why? What? What? Wait, what? Wait, wait, hold up. You don't know what they did. Forgiveness isn't this. It's not minimizing what they did. It was horrific. It was painful. You're still remembering it after maybe 20 years. Some of us in this room, 30 years, maybe your whole lifetime. Maybe last week. It was terrible what they did to you. It's not minimizing that. It's not saying that they didn't do wrong. It's not saying, well, everything's going to be good. I'm going to forgive you and we're going to be best friends and walk hand in hand. You may never be best friends, but it is forgiving them in the way that you take them out of your heart and you're not minimizing. You know what forgiveness is doing? It's saying, I'm not going to hold on to the bill anymore. You ever get that check at the restaurant and it's a big one because maybe you're with a group of people? That's when you get up and go to the restroom. And that's what you must do now. You're not going to hold on to the bill. You're going to let God pay it. Because vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. You leave it on the table. And I'm going to walk away. I'm going to go to the restroom. And somebody else, you know, if it's still there, I'm going to leave it there. Amen. You don't even leave a tip that way. Give me a good amen. God, it's in your hands. I love the cross that they painted and illustrated for us. Because it's kind of symbolic. You know, Jesus's cross, and we see these pictures, and they're so raised high. The two thieves are next to him, and they're elevated. Well, the cross of Jesus was really probably a little bit even lower than this when they hung Jesus on the cross. And the reason why they hung him on the cross that low was so everybody could go by and yank his beard, spit on him, curse at him, mock him, slap him, punch him. And he couldn't do anything about it because he was hung on a cross, pinned to a cross. Yeah. And that's why Jesus' words, not in your notes, but hear the word of the Lord. One of the seven statements that he said on the cross, because he knew we'd have to deal with it. The first words out of his mouth, whether they were punching him, whether they were spitting on him, was really for us. As an example, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're... And some of y'all are even pushing back now and saying, no, then they know what they did. Did they really... You think about it through God's eyes, through God's love, and you look at it that way. You got to leave them in God's hands because God is visiting you right now, and he wants you to deal with what you're dealing with today. See, unforgiveness is like this tumor that you get, and everybody sees it. Everybody sees the tumor except you today. And so this tumor's on you, and you're walking around with this tumor, and somebody kind of touches it, and it's real sensitive. And maybe even somebody that loves you very much, like your children, your husband, or your own children, and you touch that area, and you go, and you're upset with them about a totally different issue, but it still is being, because it's not being dealt with today. And every time you get touched there, you get upset. And so sometimes we say something like this: I can't forgive them because it's so big what they did, so massive. Wouldn't you want to get rid of something this big? Sure you would. And so the sooner that you get rid of it, the better it is, right? Is this hidden okay? Some of y'all are, yeah, it's okay, right? Yeah. And then maybe the other question might be is this, when they say that they're sorry to me, then I'll forgive them. And they're at Six Flags, they're having a good time, they're worshiping God on the third row, and they have no idea. And here you are with this walking around. How you doing? They're at Six Flags, and you're up there with this. Because you ain't going to Six Flags. And then something like this happens maybe, where you're going, you know what? If I forgive them, they'll just do it again. No, Jesus told Peter, he says, you forgive them 70 times. And I'm not good in math, amen, because I was never good in algebra, because we don't use it now. We use it in high school. 70 times 7 is what, Howard? 490. In other words, it doesn't mean to count to 490. It just means a lifestyle. So I'm not going to forgive them because they'll do it again. You're going to just get another tumor when they do it again. Wouldn't you want to have the atmosphere in your heart and already set up where I forgive them and I'm set free from this tumor and I'm delivered from this tumor? Because when they come at you again, you already have the heart to forgive. You already predisposed yourself to say, you know what? I'm going to have a life of forgiveness towards this person today. There are boundaries that you can have, like we all need in our lives today, that they don't mess up your universe, mess up your world. You can do that, yeah. But as far as for me, I walk in forgiveness so I don't keep getting spiritual tumors all over my life today. Because it's only bringing you down today. Amen, everybody? Yeah. Yeah, how many times do I forgive? Well, time will heal me. It's not going to fall off in the shower. You deal with it. It's spiritual right now today. That's why Colossians 3:13 says this. You must make allowance for each other's faults. And that's what a real spiritual person do. They make allowance. Forgive the person who what? Who? Again, God's word. Remember the Lord forgave you. Man, I was a stinker and God still forgave me. I remember when I was in third grade, I was doing bad things in third grade. And God still forgave me, right? Yeah. Even as a Christian, I've done bad things and God's still waiting for me. How about you? And so I must forgive others. I don't ever like to forgive people because I don't feel that they deserve it. Am I the only one in this Baptist church like that? See, I'm a justice dude. I'm a justice person. We're going to have this talk. This is where I am. And I'm going to show you how wrong you are by having this talk with you. I'm that way. But you know what? That still doesn't help my heart when I've had those talks. I'm still locked up inside. And the next time conflict comes around, I'm still spewing the same thing that I spewed before. Until I get set free, until I forgive them, then I'm not going to ever be set free. I'm going to be captive today. They say unforgiveness is like lighting yourself on fire and wanting the other person to die from smoke inhalation. No, they're up there at Six Flags having fun. You're only hurting yourself today. As long as I'm blaming another person for my life's condition, I'm giving the power over to them to hold me captive. I'm going to say that again. Is that okay with everybody? As long as I'm blaming someone else for my life's condition, I'm giving them the power to hold me captive. And ultimately, the devil's behind that, everybody. Forgiving someone won't change my past, but it will change my future. Amen. And you want to walk in freedom today. And for the note takers today, number four, finally, is this. Let's do the tough one. This one's even tougher. Bless them. Somebody say, bless them. Yeah, those that have offended. Bless means to speak well of them, even behind their back. Give me a good amen. Amen. It's easy to speak well of somebody in front of their friend. Speak well of them, to bless them today. And the toxic culture that we're living in, where everything can be said on Facebook or through a tweet or through even a text message, it's running rampant. And I don't want to be that sort of church. And I don't want to lead that sort of church. And so in the name of Jesus, let's not be those people that do that. Let's not communicate with texting by insulting each other or by putting something on social media that hurts people. Amen. We don't need to do that. Amen? Amen. Let's love people. Let's be the church. And if you can't join me in that, that's okay. I'll pray for you. Amen. I'll pray that you get it one day today. In 1 Peter 3:9, with the 70 times 7 guy that was told that by Jesus, this is finally the mature guy. And he gets it. He said, do not repay wrong and do not insult the repayment with an insult, but repay how? With a blessing. Because you yourself are called to do so that you might receive. Isn't that interesting right there? Yes, amen. Thank God for his word. Isn't it interesting to look at that when I bless somebody that's offended me, I'm setting myself up for a blessing? Thank God. Will you offend me right now? Because I'm just going to get more blessed. I'm going to walk through the process. It's going to hurt a little bit. But I thank God for every offense. You know why? Because I've been made stronger. Every offense in my life, you know what it's made me do? It's made me pray. It's made me seek God. It's made me say, Lord, only you can help me in this. I've gotten closer to Jesus, right? And so thank God. Maybe it set me up for a blessing. Amen. Wise words will bless people or they'll curse people. Amen. You can destroy somebody with your words and you can bless somebody with your words. You can frame your universe. God said, let there be light, and there was light. You have the power to bless people. In your home, you can change the atmosphere. In your workplace, you can bless people. In your church, you can bless people. You can make this a dream. Amen. Or it can be a nightmare. Give me a good amen. Do good to them. One of the final scriptures that I have for you, not in your handout, but on the big board today. It says this, Romans 12:17, the famous one. Do not repay evil for evil. Do not repay evil for evil, but be careful to do right in everyone's eyes today. And if it's possible, as far as it depends on you, somebody say me. Live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my friends. Leave room for God's wrath right there. There it is. It's not the mafia. It's not the hitman. It's God is going to take care of them today. He'll avenge you. It is mine to avenge. I will repay, saith Mario. No. Guido, amen, amen. Fredo, amen. The Corleones, no, says the Lord, amen. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, give him some French fries. Hey, how about those waffle fries from? Okay, good. She won't give them to me today. The waffle fries from Chick-fil-A. Give them the best. Amen. Don't give them a salad. Amen. Give them some fries. Give me a good amen. And if he's thirsty, give him something to drink. The big gulp will do today. Amen. How about a milkshake? Give me a good amen. Amen. Yeah. In doing so, you will heap burning coals. I'm glad. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah. I'm going to get to burn them up now. Yeah. Thank God for the burning coals on their head. Thank you, Jesus. You're seeing it my way, Bible. Yeah, I love that. Yeah. Do not overcome evil with evil, but evil. You know what the burning coals were? It wasn't that you'd burn them up. It would mean the precious commodity of fire. It wasn't like us lighting a thing or having a stove or having, you know, charcoal with those lighter fluid all over it and having matches ready. In those days, you built a fire. You stayed warm at night. And through the night, you kind of had to keep going the fire because in the morning, you'd be hungry. And fire was the source of life. You'd get to cook with it. You'd get to warm your body with it. And so you would go. And so when he was telling them, heap coals of fire on them. Warm them. Give them the most precious commodity ever, which was fire at that time. Today it might be time. Today it might be something financial. It might be something of love towards them. But you give them the best. You do good to them. And the Bible says that plainly. Give them the best, the precious commodity today. I know there's still people pushing back because I sense it today. Amen. But only the forgiven can forgive. Amen. That's why the world has so much trouble. Our political parties are so messed up about it. The world is so messed up about it. They have no idea what's going on. I'm finishing, okay? It's coming, amen. So this is it. You know I'm concluding when Chuck gets on the platform, right? Yeah. That's why the world can't forgive. But you can if you have the Holy Spirit. You were built for it. This is your hour. The Holy Spirit's waiting for you to forgive that person today. And that's why the forgive and forgive in Ephesians. Why don't you read it together as you check out the last scripture? Let's say it strong. Amen. Like we've never read it before. Read it on three with me. 1, 2, 3. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger and brawling and slander and every kind of form of malice. Be kind and compassionate. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as Christ forgave you today. I'm going to do something different today that's out of the ordinary. You know my routine, but let's break it up today. I want you to stand with hands lifted high towards heaven right now. God's moving because he is right now. Amen. God's word is not going to return void today. Amen. It's going to be assigned what it's supposed to do right now. It's running swiftly, God's word, but it's bringing the word right now. Amen. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. We lift our hands towards you. You're holy, God. We lift our hands and we surrender right now. Now, the enemy right now wants you to stay angry at God. And those that are watching right now on the internet, he wants you to stay angry because God did this or God allowed that. You're angry. Now you're angry at people. And there'll be a time in heaven that every tear will be wiped away from your eyes. And so we cry during earth time right now. And our heart breaks and we get offended during earth time right now. But right now, the Holy Spirit gives you the power right now not to carry the offense. You have it down, the time, the date. You even have a ledger. But God is visiting you right now. And he's speaking these words. You forgive right now, 70 times 7. You set yourself up to forgive. It's not for them. It's for you. You don't want to carry around that tumor. There's a tumor of unforgiveness in your life right now. And so, Father, we forgive that person. We set them free. We don't want to hold them captive anymore because we ourselves want to be set free. It's going to help our marriage, God. It's going to help our church. It's going to help our workplace. It's going to help our neighborhood. God, our home will change because of this prayer right now. Legacy is happening right now. You're becoming a person that forgives. You've never been that person, but today you're becoming that person that forgives. Receive the mercy of God. Remember when you received the mercy of God, you should have died in your sins, but you received the mercy of God. Now give the mercy of God to that person. Give the mercy of God. You received it freely. Freely give it. You receive forgiveness. Give the forgiveness of God today. You receive the love of God. Now give His love right now. Amen. Amen. Give. Get free. Stay free. Amen. Give freedom away. God will restore you right now. You love others. Amen. Begin to love others with the power of God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. We set our purpose to be a loving church again. We're going to love you, God, and then we're going to love people. We're going to love people within this building. We're going to love people on the outside of the walls today. Thank you. We're going to love our neighborhood. God, now take every missionary, which is every heart beating today. Everybody in this room is a missionary assigned to something. Take that assignment now as they love their neighborhood, as they love their family, as they love their workplace, God. Thank you, God. Do something great this week in the people of God's lives today. We're a church called Living Faith because we practice God's word today. We're not dead faith church, we're living faith church. Thank you, God, for our assignment today. I always want to give you an opportunity to do this as your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed today, to receive Christ as your Savior. Jesus died for your sins. You're far away from God today. A simple prayer. God is a prayer away coming into your life right now. If that's you in this room, you've never asked Christ to forgive you for your sins, or you're far away from God, not to embarrass you, I won't do that, but I'd just like to see your hand. You lift your hand right now in the audience right now. Would you do that right now? Lift your hand. Not going to embarrass you, but I'm going to note your hand. You'll pray right now. God bless you, Mija. Somebody else, you can put your hand down. God bless you. Yes, I see your hand, sister. Yes, I see your hand. Someone else, making sure. About three ladies lifted their hands right now. Thank you. If you did and I didn't see you, just I want you to pray this prayer out loud. The sinners that are saved by grace, we pray this prayer right now. All of us pray this prayer. You that lifted your hand, you pray it loud enough that you can hear it in your own ear. Dear Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Jesus, you died for all my sins on the cross. You were bloodied. You were beat. You were whipped. I should have been on the cross. But you took all that pain for me. You died in my place. And so I'm thankful that I'm forgiven by you, Lord. Change my life. And fill me with the Holy Spirit now. Overflowing. So I can do good things for you on this earth. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Now may the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you. And may the Lord give you His peace. That's my prayer. Irma's prayer for you too is that. Amen. We want the best for you. We love you. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Let's bless the Lord for new life at Living Faith Church. Come on. To God be the glory. Great things. Yes, amen and amen. There's a Growing in Faith class that happens at 9 a.m. Diana Ruiz was going to be at our connection table. She'll give you information about that. Please attend that, especially if you lifted your hand. You say, well, I've already been to it. Go to it again. Amen. It's just a good thing to go through. It gets your Bible reading down. It gets your gifts down, your spiritual gifts down. You're able to do those. And then there's a connection card that's near you in the back right there. You can find one. If you have a prayer request, you can fill that out. We pray for people at Living Faith Church. Let me know about your decision today. Amen and amen today. Amen. There's power when you give. If you'll show me this last slide as you get your giving ready, we're going to worship God. Chapter 3, it gives the blessing of what would happen when you bring all the tithe into the storehouse. Not 5%, not 1%, but the full tithe into the storehouse. This is what God does. It says this: bring all the tithe into the storehouse so there'll be enough food for my temple. That way we're sending it out to the missionaries. We're also blessing our community with it. We're able to do the closet. We're able to keep the lights on in the temple here in the church. And then we're able to pay the water bills. You know what I'm getting at, right? Amen. So if you do so, says the Lord of heaven, He'll open up the windows of heaven and pour out for you such a blessing so great that you'll not have room to take it in. Try it, God says that. Put me to the test. Your crops will be abundant, for you'll guard them from the insects, diseases, and the graves. I'm sensing right here just a word for somebody.
Maybe things are going on in your mind, in your heart, in your home because of this today. One lady told me this, when I tithe, it's not that the washing machine still breaks, the stove still breaks.
Different now in my life because I'm a tither. I have money for it. And so I don't miss a beat. I keep going on and God has provided for me. Amen. And so I love that. Back then in the day it was farming. It was, you know, your grapes will not fall to the ground and the vine before they're ripe. In other words, there's perfect timing for everything that we're doing because we're givers today. And all the nations will call you blessed. In your land you will be such a delight. Amen, says the Lord. Isn't that good? Today we worship God. There's several ways to give. Thank God for the power of giving today. Would you hold your tithe in your hand as I bless you, as I hold it in my hand, our tithe in our hand today. We join you in giving. Thank you, Lord. There's power in giving today. Thank you for what you're doing, Lord. The missionaries of our church, there's more than enough, especially during the season that's coming, Lord. We're blessed to give. Father, we thank you that there's more than enough in the clothing closet to finish that assignment that we have there. Thank you, God, for what you're doing. Thank you, God, that there's more than enough right now in the temple because of the generosity of God's people. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. We worship God in our giving. As we sing the songs of faith, we worship God. Amen. Hallelujah. Can I put this in there, though? Yeah, real quick. I'll come back up.
Let me get my glasses.
Oh, yes, definitely. I'm sorry. Yeah, Sister Irma, I want you up here also, but don't be looking at me. I want you to get up here and look at the audience because they're the ones that wrote it, not me. I don't know how to write. I'm a math teacher. All right, face the audience. Okay, right there. Right there is perfect. All right, Pastor, you are always there to help us when we fall. Thank you for answering the master's call. Thank you for caring when things get bad. Thank you for your humor that lifts us up when we're sad. Thank you for the prayer you pray each day, the declarations and encouraging words you say. Thank you for the sermons that resonate our souls. You never stop telling us how much we should achieve our goals. We thank God for our pastor and his strength in Christ. His example and character inspire in all our lives. A pastor that relies on God through happy times and tears, you are such a blessing, and we're glad God sent you here. Amen. So, I didn't write it, okay? I just read it. But we do want to present you with, here comes the official guy right here, the guy with the suit. There's the poem. There's a gift from the whole church, and well, before y'all leave, let's all gather around Pastor, and we're going to pray for him.
That's all you got. Or the other side.
I can't reach that far, so that's okay. I just sent the cord's not enough. Father God, we thank you for our pastor, Father. We thank you, Lord, that you sent them here to plant this church in this location at this such a time as this, God. And we just pray, Father, for another 20 years, Lord, that your word will keep on coming forth from this pulpit, Lord, and that somebody will continue to be the pastor here. When he's gone, he's going to raise somebody that's going to do the job that you want, Father. But until then, Lord, we just thank you, God, that you've given him you've equipped him with his wife and his family to be planted here and do the best that they can do, Father. And just continue to get the message across that you're trying to get to this community, Father. Lord, because there's a big message here, God. And we just pray, Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, that the walls of this school will not stop us. The walls of the school next to us will not stop us. The walls of the community will not stop us, because it's not us, Father. It's your kingdom, Father, that's fighting here, Father. We're just being used, Father. We just thank you, Father, for the leader that he is to be the director, Father, and the general of this army, Father. We just pray, God, that we continue to move forward, God, inch by inch, whatever it takes, God, to reach the community, Lord. And we just thank you that you bless their family, Father, as far from here all the way up to Dallas with Andrew, God, that the whole family is covered. Rebecca's covered. Irma's covered. They're all covered by your safety, Father. Your hands are protecting them everywhere they go and everything they do, God. And I just pray, Father, that they can be blessed today by this community and this family. In Jesus' name, amen.
All right. You guys want a picture with the celebrity? He'll be around. For the rest of you, you guys are welcome to go out and do your tithe and offering.